man, I just can't apologize calling people to be obedient to what God has commanded.
Hey, this is Ryan Tucker, and we want to thank you for listening to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. In this podcast, we get to dive into Pastor Stephen's weekly sermons right here at Highland Park Baptist Church. We would ask you to rate, like, subscribe, and comment. And again, we are honored and thankful that you have chosen to listen to the Unchangeable Truth. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Unchangeable Truth Podcast. So the last couple of days, I've talked to some people about our podcast, and they always bring up the fact that I say, what up, what up? I don't think I've ever said, what up, what up.
I think you say, what's up, everybody.
I do. I say, what's up, everybody.
What's up, everybody. Now,
It's been a topic of conversation.
I have said that you say, what's up, what's up.
So it's your fault.
It doesn't really matter what you really say, as long as I plant seeds of doubt. I've kind of overridden the narrative, so I might win the argument.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know.
Anyway,
it's
man.
Important to do.
That's right. How's it going today, brother? I know that, it's Monday. We haven't recorded Monday in a couple weeks, but I know other things have been happening. Been episodes that's been played, but anyway, how's it going, my dude?
Yeah, it's been going great.
Good.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were talking about, I guess the Life of David series and Journey that goes out on the on our podcast platform.
No,
or is that only on regional TV?
That's our filler. That's what we put on last week. We started the first one last week.
Okay. Well, I guess this guy, he was asking me. Because he doesn't attend here, he attends somewhere else. He was asking me about various things when it comes to podcasts. He may have been talking about the television ministry that we do. So I was
it did go on the television.
Yeah. Oh, I want to say it had to do with a live. I watch you live, and I'm like, you don't watch me live. I mean, unless you're watching like live stream on social media or YouTube or whatever. So, Yeah, it's kind of good. You know, there's something going on all the time. You know, there's some folks that are out there that are like, man, you know, you preachers, y'all really don't do anything except like Sunday, right? And I would say that's when we get to do the best thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say my favorite thing, and that is being able to expound upon Scripture, which is the Word of God. And so, no, there's a lot of other things that go into it. Meetings, and
it takes a lot to keep this ship going straight, man.
Yeah, man. I'd say it takes a lot to even keep her going crooked. the meeting, man. I never dreamt the day where you're like, man, I don't want to have another meeting. anyway, it's all good. The fact that God could work and move and accomplish anything through us imperfect human beings,
a very true
is
statement.
Truly miraculous within itself. So,
yeah,
for that we are grateful. Kind of neat, you know, here in North Florida, we kind of kicked off public schools today. Our academy, even though it does, you know, have some things for the summer, kind of kicked off in full force. And so, my only grandchild. Is now at the academy, and so just before I came up, I had an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with him. So that's kind of a neat deal. I had to police myself because there was a few times today in between meetings where I'm like, I think I'll run over to the academy and
grab him up,
grab a little guy out of class, and I'm like, no, don't do that, man. That won't be good.
He is one of the only infants babies that doesn't cry when they see me.
Yeah. Well, and I would say, I mean, I wouldn't stop with infants. I would just say people in general. So as I heard one guy say one time, you've got a mean looking face.
That's true.
So, but I mean, you just got to know you, man. You got to see past the facade, right? Yeah.
I'm easy to hate, but really fun to love.
That's true. You just got to get to know the real you.
That's okay.
But
that's all right.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know.
He smiles at me all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to be homies one day.
He's a happy little dude.
Yeah.
He was a happy little dude, with the exception of Friday, right? Friday afternoon, And Friday, they had, you know, his mom had taken him, and he had to get a couple of shots, and one in each leg. And they've spaced out his vaccinations. So I know there's some people that are like, you should never vaccinate a baby, and some are like, if you don't vaccinate, you hate the world. And here's what I'm going to say: you just take care of your side of the street and let everybody else take care of their own. And so they've just spaced it out, you know, versus getting them all at once. But I mean, crud! I mean, they hurt.
Yeah.
So he had two Band-Aids, and that's
a bad day. Two Band-Aids.
In anybody's world.
That's right.
But then his pediatrician, because they were saying, you know, hey, he's kind of spitting up a little bit and all that, and you know, maybe he has acid reflux, or the pediatrician's like, no, I don't think that's it. I think honestly, maybe feeding him too often. And so, as long as I've known this kid, is his entire life, 4 months.
His entire life.
You know, 4 ounces every 2 hours. 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 And so they drop him off at Papa's, and that's me, and said, hey, listen, doctor said, he's eating because he gets bored. You know, when he's at school, he can go longer because he's not bored. And I'm like, well, I mean, it makes sense. That's what I do. I eat when I'm bored. And so they said, so we're trying to hold out every 3 hours on his bottles.
Yeah. Here you go. Good luck.
Yeah. And drop him off at my house. And they're going like 10 minutes. And my wife said, yeah, I'm sorry. We're not starting that here.
Yeah.
They can start that at their house. And I'm like, I'm with you. I don't care if he's bored. I don't care if he's hungry. I mean, if I even think he wants a bottle, right, it's there.
Yeah.
And so we did. Broke every rule you could break.
Fed that child.
Fed him. Yeah. Probably fed him more than every 2 hours. But then they actually said this. They said that, hey, you go ahead. You can start introducing a little bit of, I mean, it's baby food puree, but a little bit of what they call solid. It's not solid, but you know what I mean. And I'm like, oh, cereal. You know, yeah, we put some cereal in his milk, is what I said. And they're like, oh, no, you can't do that anymore. They said, that's bad. You don't do that. Mm. I'm like, are you kidding me? I remember taking my pocket knife and kind of making that hole in that nipple a little bit bigger so they could get the cereal when they were sucking on it. No, you can't do that. That's bad. I don't know how I lived in the 70s.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I get it.
So they said you can introduce maybe one new thing a week. And I'm sure some of our listeners and people who are viewing are going to write in and give me their opinion. And, you know, I appreciate all the wannabe pediatricians.
What'd you give him?
I didn't give him anything. No. That starts this week. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to do that. Okay. I'll let them introduce that. But
some
anyway,
ice cream.
That's what I'm thinking. They're like, we don't know what we're going to start with. I'm like, Tutti Frutti. Tutti Frutti. That's a good one. And they said, no. The doctor said that we introduce solids by giving him vegetables.
Well, that's no fun.
That's borderline abuse. And I said, why would you do that? And they said, because if you start them with fruit, then they won't eat vegetables.
Oh, goodness.
So they're going to stop and think about this.
Yeah.
This kid's first introduction to solid food is going to be, I think they said, either green peas. They're not going to start with carrots because carrots have a little bit of sweet to them.
Oh, goodness.
And, my goodness. I mean, you know, I just don't get it. I don't understand it. You should have seen their face when I said, I'm going to tell you, though, when I take my little finger and I dip it in ranch and stick it in his mouth, he loves that. Nobody was laughing. I was like, I'm just kidding. And I'm just kidding. They're like, no, I know we know you. You would do that. And I'm like, no, I'm just kidding. So, but it's fun. Being a papa is fun.
Oh, yeah.
I told my wife, I said, I know the day's going to come where they're going to expect me to discipline or punish this kid because he's done something wrong, and they just need to go ahead and write down right now, I'm not that guy. I'm sorry. Been there, done that. No, I mean, not at all. So, and he loves Westerns.
Whew, I'm sure he does.
My goodness, we were watching a good one the other day.
I'm sure he does.
Hoss and Little Joe were going in.
Oh, my goodness.
anyway, and you know, and and his mom, my daughter, comes in, and she's like, I don't think you should be watching that. You know, there's a lot of shooting and stuff that's going on in the Westerns. And I'm like, look, nobody goes down with just one shot. I mean, look at that. He knows that's not real.
Yeah.
And so.
All right.
It's kind of neat. I look forward to when we can start talking about Gunsmoke and Bonanza and all that fun stuff.
Oh, yeah. All right, we should probably talk about your sermon.
I would assume so.
So yesterday was a kind of a special day in our church, going public with your faith. We've done this a couple years in a row, and it was a good day. 42 people got baptized, 42 people followed through in believer's baptism. And I want to ask you a question, and I'm sure it will probably lead into what you talked about, the Ethiopian. And when Philip was talking to the Ethiopian about baptism. Anyway, you made a statement in your sermon that, you know, on a special emphasis like baptism, you know, or a special day, that sometimes people maybe say that you try to manipulate the moment or cause some sort of emotion in a particular day like we had yesterday. I know you. I don't think that's the case at all. I know the way you preach. I know the way that you teach and how you study and your passion for people. But so how do you reconcile, you know, your passion for the gospel, your passion for people getting baptized because it is biblical and there is some blessings go along with that. How do you reconcile that along with kind of getting this maybe a little bit of heat on, you know, maybe making it an emotional thing or manipulating the moment? Like, how do you reconcile that? Like,
so, I mean, full transparency, I don't get a lot of heat there. I mean, okay. I've heard folks that have actually made that statement about people that maybe would be similar, and you know, and I have had heard folks that have commented whenever you do a special kind of emphasis along the lines of baptism. Oh well, you know, you just tell a heartwarming story, and then you'll get people to do whatever that you want them to do through emotionalism. Now, I will say this: we are created emotional beings.
Yeah.
That's how God designed us. Emotions are not a bad thing. I would say anytime you put your faith in anything except the Lord Jesus, that is not a good thing.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you can say mental, emotional, goodness, anything in the world. So emotions in themselves are not bad. The problem is emotions will lie to you.
Mm.
I would say your brain will lie to you.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been times I've looked at something and my brain's like, oh, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then you find out later, no, that's not really what you thought you saw.
Yeah.
Or I feel this way. Be careful, because you can feel, well, feelings sometimes could be manipulated by desires or past experiences, whatever the case may be. So emotions, I would agree. Emotionalism. Usually when somebody says, you're calling somebody through emotionalism or emotional manipulation is the terminology. What they're saying is you are trying to solicit a response that is not a true response.
Yeah.
That's not what we're called to do. Not as a preacher of the gospel.
Yeah.
We're called to clearly expound upon the word of God. You know, I'm not ever going to come before you and say, hey, want you to know, got a word for you, and that word not be in the Bible.
Yeah.
Anybody that's listening, that there's, you know, you're watching somebody on TV or whatever the case is, some guy on a podcast, and I realize we're on those platforms, but whenever somebody says they have some, like an extra biblical message, that would be something not contained in the Bible.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, God spoke to me last night, and I've got a word for you, and it's not based contextually in Scripture. Ooh, danger.
Yeah.
Be careful. So, my calling, take the word of God, proclaim the word of God, help folks understand the truth of the word of God. And so I even made this statement in the sermon. I just can't apologize calling people to be obedient to what God has commanded.
Yeah.
And clearly God has commanded baptism, not for salvation, but because of salvation. Right. And it is that outward expression of the faith that you have in your heart. It is a public identification with Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture. Yeah. That takes place. And then if you really, really, you know, it was based off of, remember, Jesus was Jewish, and it was based off of some of the Jewish traditional ceremonial washings. And you can study that a little bit more. And my goodness, we've been to parts of Israel before where you can see where the elaborate baths were, because they would have to wash many times a day symbolically so that they might be clean when it comes to something. We're not talking about clean as far as, let me make sure I got my antibacterial soap and stuff. It was all traditional. So it would make sense with that background, Jesus being a Hebrew, a Jew, it would build off of that. Of course, it started with John the Baptist, but I'm just saying there's a little bit of background there. And so Christ comes along and he says, I want you to do this as an expression outwardly of what you're believing and trusting me inwardly. And so the Bible's very clear. And so we say, here's what God wants you to do. Here's why God wants you to do what he wants you to do. Now, why are you not doing what God wants you to do? Let us help you do what God wants you to do. We can't do it for you. Yeah. I've made this statement. Man, if I could get saved for all of you, you'd all be saved right now. I can't do that. It's a personal thing. Likewise, any decision that we make in obedience to him is a personal decision. Well, I forced somebody into obedience. Well, you may have forced them into action, but you didn't force them into obedience.
Well, and that's one of the things that, you know, I appreciate the way that you do these moments, because we've done these a few times over the course of, you know, the 13 years that I've been here. But, you know, the way that you are encouraging people to be obedient. Now, again, not this forceful, but you are laying out, you know, hey, here's some thing. And I think that your sermon title is like, what hinders us? You did. You laid out some things that hinder people or excuses that people make on why they can't. And so, you know, taking the text that you looked at in Acts chapter 8 and the, you know, Philip and the eunuch, the Ethiopian eunuch, like how just talking about the importance in the us having the understanding on how right and biblical it is, and there is no excuse. And I don't know, man, I thought the way you did it was very pure, very, very good.
The point that we were shooting for is, I mean, baptism, scripture makes it clear over and over again, baptism does not forgive sin.
Correct.
There are folks that will even, you know, repent and be baptized for the remission of sin. See, right there, it's tied baptism to salvation. They must be together. I would say baptism must be there for obedience, but there's a lot of verses you would have to omit in the Bible to try to tie the two together. And there are folks that are listening to this that would disagree with this. I would just encourage you, search it out for yourself. Yeah. Look at it for yourself. Don't hinge it all on one particular verse. Look at the overall scope of the Bible. Yeah. There's no acts, no deeds that we can do that is going to merit our own salvation. Salvation is a gift from God. It is. What do you do with a gift? You don't earn a gift.
Right.
You don't buy a gift. You receive it. Hey, thanks. I received that from you, Jesus. So while baptism is not necessary for salvation, baptism is necessary to be obedient to Christ. And then obedience is necessary, I'm going to say, for peace of heart.
Mm.
I had a lady yesterday that I've known, I guess 10 years. They live a street over from where I live. They're active in our church, and my family knows her, and, you know, we preached the message and then said, okay, hey, look, today you got a decision to make. For those of you who have never followed through in what is believer's baptism, which means I've placed my faith and trust in Jesus, and now I want to be baptized as a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that I now identify with him with through baptism. If you've not done that, you have one of two decisions to make. Either I'll be obedient or I'll be disobedient. Because you can't find in Scripture clearly where he's like, well, you know, be obedient unless you don't want to.
Yeah.
Be obedient unless it doesn't feel right. And so she comes forward. It shocked me a little bit.
Yeah.
Come right to me.
Yeah.
As soon as the thing started, I said, hey, called her by name. What's going on? And she said, for 10 years, I've been miserable. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, for 10 years, I've heard you say over and over again, believer's baptism, belief, baptism, belief, baptism, baptism, obedience.
Yeah.
And she said, and I've made every excuse in the world. And I said, today, I'm not going to make any other excuse. I'm going to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what she said. She said, I was baptized as a child. And please hear me. All children who get baptized doesn't mean that they don't know.
Right.
They've not truly received Jesus. In her case, that was the case. She said, I was baptized as a child, but I got saved like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, and I know I've been disobedient. I've been under conviction.
Mm.
And today when the service started, I thought, oh boy, what am I going to do? What? And she said, and so today I'm saying, here I am.
Yeah.
I want to be obedient to you. And I told her, I said, While baptism does not forgive a single sin, somebody being baptized is not going to get them into heaven.
Right.
The obedience that comes through that is going to be like a great weight has been lifted off your heart. What the devil has been using to kind of hold you hostage and paralyze you when it comes to your spiritual maturity and growth, that is going to be set free. And really, as you identify with Christ through this, what it is going to proclaim to yourself is, and to others, I mean business.
Yeah.
He truly is my Lord and Savior. Mm. And I'm just saying, when she came up out of the water, just you could see it just all over her, just like, whew, I can breathe.
Yeah.
I can breathe. And so I would go back to that original statement or question about emotional what'd you say?
Manipulation.
Thank you. Emotional manipulation. When you get my age, you forget words. I'm still focused on that tutti frutti baby food, but the emotional manipulation, it goes hand in hand with those who'll sit there and say, oh, wait. I know who you are. You share the gospel every time you preach. You give an opportunity for people to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, you're one of those easy believism people. And my response, and for years, I'd start arguing.
Yeah.
Hey, man, let's, and would, you know, adamantly sit there and argue and get angry. And of course, you know, in an older age to where you have to really, I mean, Journey understands this, you have to sit there and make decisions. What am I going to exert energy on? Right. And so now my response is this.
You're right.
Hey, if you want to believe in hard believism, you go right ahead. I'll take the easy believism.
Yeah.
Now, easy believism does not mean cheap.
Correct.
No, it was very costly. Christ paid his life. Easy believism means this. Come. Okay, I'll come.
Yeah.
Boom. You know, as Philip asked the Ethiopian, when the Ethiopian is like, there's some water.
Yeah.
Why can't you go ahead and baptize me? Even he understood a little bit of the tenets.
Yeah.
He'd just come from Jerusalem because Jerusalem then and today is kind of the center of worship in the world. I mean, you go to Jerusalem right now, and I mean, there's all kinds of, you got Jews, you got Christians, you got Muslims, and that's the reason why on the news every night, there's going to be a story of something that's happening in Jerusalem, and Anyway, I digress. I apologize. So he'd just come from there. We would call him a seeker.
Yeah.
He's seeking. He's even reading the Bible.
Yeah.
He doesn't get what he's reading. Lo and behold, here comes this guy, a deacon running up. I don't know if I've ever seen a deacon run. A deacon running up next to a chariot.
Where'd he come from?
Yeah, I think the Lord sent him right from Samaria. And he's able to explain it. And he's like, hey, the one you're reading up, that's Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Yeah. Well, do you believe? And then he gives just a simple answer. I believe Jesus is the Son of God.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let's go ahead and get baptized.
Yeah.
I'd say that's pretty easy believism. Yeah. Again, I'm not one of those that's against, hey, listen, man, when it comes to somebody who comes to Christ, man, you need to train them. You need to make sure they understand baptism. I know that's part of your job as our discipleship next steps guy. And I mean, you had a great deal of folks that were ready yesterday that when somebody came forward and said, I'm ready to follow through in baptism, you know, we didn't have a baptistry down front to where all of a sudden we just throw them up in the water. But, they're on their way back. They're going up to our baptistry. And before they get up there, they stop. They have a conversation with somebody. Hey, talk to me about, do you believe?
Yeah.
And then we baptize them. We ask the question, is he Lord of your life? Chew on that for a moment. That's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Or excuse me, who is the Lord of your life? Jesus Christ. You know, that's your confession. Based upon your confession, I can baptize you. So here he is. There it is. Why can't I be baptized? I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Pretty easy believism.
Yeah.
But I would just say emotional manipulation is when you sit there and you say, I'm not worried about the truth.
Mm.
I'm more worried about soliciting a response.
Yeah.
And you and I both know a response that is solicited and people are responding because of not being motivated by the truth and obedience to the truth, we're just wasting time.
When I think you even said it before, you're always going to give somebody the opportunity, right? Like you're going to give them the opportunity to hear the gospel, to respond to the gospel. We've had other events, men's events and ladies events where the gospel is presented and you give people the opportunity to respond to that. And, I appreciate that. I think as a staff person, as someone who attends and has caught the vision of Highland Park Baptist Church, I appreciate the fact that you give people the opportunity and they may not always respond, but at least the opportunity's there.
It's what separates us from social clubs.
Yeah.
I mean, you could give them entertainment, and we've got some great gifted musicians here. We can give them entertainment. We can give them encouragement. Mm. We can give them training. We can give them food. We can give them coffee. We can give them all these things. We can give their kids a great experience. But if we don't give them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what is it that we've given them that will last for all eternity? Because we know eventually all those things are going to fade.
Yeah.
But it is only what is done with Christ that's going to last forever. Yeah. And so that is the gospel. And the gospel is going to be at the forefront of all that we do and say. I think everybody on our staff approaches it as, hey, listen, man, if we don't leave them with the gospel, what have we left them with?
Yeah.
Because all of Scripture points to the gospel.
That's right. That's right.
And so I'm thankful. It's called a gospel-oriented church. Why would you ever want to be any other kind of church?
Right.
I know there are folks out there, you're full gospel. I don't really get that. I know it's a denomination. I have some friends that are full gospel. I'm like, we don't even call ourselves full gospel, but we're full gospel. And I think you can make the argument, if it's not the full gospel, then is it even the gospel? Yeah. But maybe they added stuff to the gospel. I have no idea. Yeah. That's no knock on them.
Research assistant. That's where we need that research
assistant.
That's
where we need it. Yeah. I will just close by saying this, and I know we're probably over time, but I'm thankful that while we get creative on ways that we get them here to hear the gospel, and we have to really plan on a lot of things about how we want to engage the people as they come, We have yet to have the first meeting in my 16 years here. I'm gonna say in my 34 years of ministry, I've yet to sit in the first meeting where they're like, "And when we get here, what are we going to tell them?"
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
We'll just go ahead and it's just kind of unassumed. Yeah. How about we just go ahead and tell them about Jesus?
Yeah.
And for those that are saved, I just say this as somebody who has been saved for, good gravy, 44 years. If you get tired of hearing the gospel, that's a terrible place to be.
Yeah.
I'll never get bored of the gospel.
Mm. Well, man, as always, thank you for pointing us to Jesus and the truth of Scripture. And we'll see you right here next time on the Unchangeable Truth Podcast.
This is Pastor Stephen Kyle, and I would like to thank you for listening to this week's episode of Unchangeable Truth. We would always love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus Christ, so feel free to shoot us an email at podcast@highlandpark.org. That's HILANDPARK.org. The purpose of this broadcast is to help you fall more in love with Jesus Christ and your faith to grow as you consistently find yourself in the Word of God. If you ever find yourself in Panama City, please feel free to stop by and worship with us in person at 2611 Highway 231 North. May God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us again.